Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's edition of the Richard Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the unification principle point of view. We're happy to have on today Thornton Cooper. He is running for the Secretary of State on the Democratic ticket. So, please introduce yourself.
Thank you again, Mr. Urban, for the opportunity to speak. My name is Thornton Cooper. I'm a native and resident of South Charleston, West Virginia. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I graduated from South Charleston High School, went on a scholarship to Yale University, graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science, worked for a few years, went to law school, graduated from the WVU College of Law in 1978. I worked for various state agencies. During 29 years of service in the executive branch. I have management experience. I spent most of the time working for the Public Service Commission. No, I did not regulate your electric bills. No, I did not regulate your water bills. I regulated taxicab companies and limousine companies and landfills. I've argued or submitted briefs in 30 cases before the state Supreme Court. I've argued cases in the federal courts, including one involving the landfill at Hedgesville in Berkeley County.
Oh.
I have roots in the eastern part of the state. My dad was born in Davis in Tucker County.
Okay.
And his father was born in Mountain Falls in Frederick County, just across the line from Hampshire County, West Virginia. And my father's mother was born in Flintstone near Cumberland. And my mother's born in Alexandria. So I just want the people in the eastern part of the state to understand I do have lots of ties to the to your part of the state.
Great. Okay. Well, so Secretary of State, of course, is overseeing the elections and also the business registration. And yeah, so I do have some questions about the election process. So I know around 2022 election, we started having pretty much all of the ballot marking devices in the state. So we have those electronic ballot marking devices that then spit out the paper and then that's tabulated. Do you have any, issues with that system versus, I know formerly before that, we would mark the paper ballots. And is that a good system? Are there any concerns with these, electronic ballot marking devices? We should be worried about security or anything like that?
No, I don't know exactly what systems used in Jefferson County, Berkeley County, but here in Kanawha County, I like to be able to vote by mail. That's really important. And I did get that opportunity 4 years ago, but I don't have that opportunity in 2024. But in California, people have been able to vote by mail since 1978 without giving any reason to do so. And I think people in this state should have that right, too. But that's not where the law is right now. And if I'm elected, I will administer the law that's on the books and, comply with the federal and state constitution. I'm just telling you that I think that people should be able to vote by mail. Okay.
Yeah, well, let's dwell on that for a second. I saw that on your website, too, making it easier to vote. But isn't there a lot of concerns about fraud? I mean, as an example, like in Pennsylvania in 2020, 600,000 mail-in ballots were counted. And due to the COVID debacle or whatever you want to call it, there were no observers. Is that really acceptable?
Well, I'm not sure exactly. I'm not getting to whether there were or were not observers. That is another matter. But the idea of, as I said, California is the most populous state in the country. And believe me, they elect Republicans in California. You may not believe that, but Kevin McCarthy, who used to be the Speaker of the House, he was elected from a congressional district in California.
Right.
So it's passé in California. We're just not used to things like that in West Virginia. We're way, way behind the rest of the curve.
Yeah. But I guess my question was,
yeah, sure.
Doesn't that open up a lot more possibility of fraud? Because I know I've been, looking into it. I'm interested in it. For instance, there'll be many ballots. Say there's an apartment building And again, we're a rural state. Maybe it's not as much as in Las Vegas or somewhere. But say you have an apartment building with 100 units. Well, many may not have an apartment number. Then they pile up. And the accusation is, I don't think it's just an accusation, but it's true. Someone can collect those ballots and vote them. Yeah, there's
a book. Throw the book at that person, sir. Throw the book at that person. Most people do not have any economic incentive to vote one way or the other way. We got rid of the spoil system. The U.S. Supreme Court got rid of the spoil system in 1976. There's no economic benefit, to vote one or ten. And believe me, I'm against ballot harvesting. Okay, and they do that in some states. I'm opposed to that. I was opposed to it even before I heard the term, because I used to be in charge of my local swimming pool's elections. And I said, you cannot bring any ballots. If you bring in a paper ballot to our meeting, you can only bring those from your household. There was too much of an opportunity for somebody to bring, ballots from other places. So no, I want strict restrictions on that. But I'm saying California's done it fine for years, and West Virginians are not used to it. But that doesn't mean it'd be a big problem. I think people should be able to vote by mail. I think they should be able to vote early at satellite or whatever you want to call it, station before election day. And I think they should be able to vote at their home precinct on election day. I think that should be, Mountaineers are always free. We should have that choice. It should not be dictated by the legislature.
So, are you happy with our voter identification laws? Do you think they're good or proper and sufficient?
I think it was, I don't think we had a problem to begin with. I think this whole thing is manufactured by people who don't understand how elections work. Believe me. Now, when I was a teenager, we had a lot of fraud in West Virginia. Because I remember when I was a high school student, my brother was a senior at Wake Forest College in North Carolina, and he had me keep all the newspaper clippings about a county commission race that was held in Kanawha County. People did have, we had mass fraud. People would vote as other people. It was very, very bad. I had a lady who cleaned the house that I grew up in, and she was a Republican inside poll worker. And she told me it was going on. I wasn't sure whether she was more upset that it was going on or if the Democrats were able to pay more than the Republicans for votes. But it really was a very big problem in West Virginia in the 60s and 70s, and no doubt before the 60s. And I've been to election school, and a lot of what you do, and I've been inside poll worker, a lot of what you do is follow procedures that were designed by the legislature to prevent what used to go on in the 60s and 70s. And people who have not worked in elections do not understand that. We have all these protections in place, and you have to go to election school to be able to work at the polls. So I just want to try to allay some people's fears about, the possible fraud. Believe we have plenty of fraud when people voted the polls. So that's what we used to have. People would actually bring in a blank ballot. Somebody would bring out a blank ballot. That would be the first voter. Then somebody filled in. The next voter was paid. So you bring that in, and you leave that's already filled out, and you bring another blank ballot out. That is how things were done in West Virginia, unfortunately, a lot up to the 60s and 70s. That is largely gone. So that isn't a problem. I think people feel comfortable with the election safety in their own county, but they're worried about what goes on in Georgia or Texas or some other state, especially if the people are winning the elections are from another political party. I think that's, so I'm not worried about that. Pennsylvania has a really strange system. I have a son who lives in Pennsylvania. They actually, it's harder for them to vote early, at least in the past, it's been hard for them to vote early in person. So I think in some senses, West Virginia's system is better than Pennsylvania's.
Okay. What about, so when people are basically automatically registered when they vote, if they check the box at the DMV, so that's probably okay, but if they check that they're a citizen, does anybody verify if they actually are a citizen?
Well, the person is swearing under perjury. See, for example, here's an application for West Virginia voter registration application.
Okie doke.
The very first question is, are you a U.S. citizen?
And but they can just check that. Does anybody?
And they also are subject to perjury if they lie. You know,
yeah,
so
but, but 15 million people, or is it 30, have come like into the country now in the last 4 years. They're not, you know, what do you say? Not legal. It could be an issue, or you don't think it's an issue?
I think what it is, let me tell you this. Right now I got one of my pipes is blocked in my house, and I wash my clothes in a laundromat in Nitro over near where West Virginia, where Putnam and Kanawha counties come together. And we have a lot of people who are either legal or illegal immigrants, and they speak Spanish. These people are hard-working people. They're in this country. They have a lot of better work ethic than a lot of us who are born in the United States. And they're trying to earn money, maybe to send remittances back to Mexico or somewhere in the Central America. They want to be in. They do not want to do anything that'll cause them to be deported. So this whole thing, you know, it's made up by the presidential candidate of the other party. I mean, Democrat, so I won't say his name. But this is all part of his spin. When Joe Biden won the 2020 election fair and square, and hit the guy he beat is a sore loser, and he's given all these things. He put all these false statements because he wouldn't just have be enough of a man to admit he lost.
Well, I think we'll have to agree or disagree on that. I mean, one of the questions I have is like, and I obviously you just said, but do you think any fraud occurred in 2020 or 2022 in any like? There's, you know, and it's not just the presidential election of 2020. We know that Arizona is very contested, you know, with Carrie Lake and Abe Hamadin. And then there's a question about the Georgia election of the senators from Georgia and a lot of different ones. And there have been some that involve Democrats that are local. Like there was one race overturned. I believe it was in a city. I think it was Hartford, Connecticut. That was not Republican, but Democrats. So let's make the question this. I'm just kind of carrying on here. But
yeah,
it's really, wouldn't you agree it's really should, election integrity should be bipartisan? Because there have been many Democrats, like Hillary Clinton challenged about 2016, Al Gore challenged, you know, about 2000. So why is it suddenly like it's only President Trump? He's like, wrong.
I'm answering your question. Because
Hillary, go ahead.
Al Gore was a man, and he did the right thing. He contested it, and when the U.S. Supreme Court 5-4 ruled against him, he said, I don't agree with it, but I'll abide by it. That's the difference between Al Gore and Donald Trump. Al Gore is a law-abiding citizen. Donald Trump is not. Again, Hillary won. Both Hillary Clinton and Al Gore got the popular vote, but they didn't win the electoral vote. And Hillary, she conceded very, very shortly after the election night. In fact, Barack Obama called her up and said, "You got to come out and speak." And she called up Trump and said, "Congratulations," or something like that. So that she didn't contest. She didn't contest the election. What happened afterwards was there Russian influence that helped influence some people to vote for Trump? That's not contesting the election. Nobody was saying that Trump wasn't elected. Some people were saying some of the people who voted for him were misinformed by disinformation by the Russian government. But that's that we didn't say that Trump wasn't elected. We never said that.
Okay. Well,
I answered the question.
You answered the question about, whether you think fraud occurred or not. Okay, so about the, so we're talking about our voting systems here in the state.
Yes, sir.
And we're using the ballot marking devices. I also noticed that after 2018, if I'm not mistaken, we had like our own, it looked like an in-house or anyway, West Virginia reporting system, and then they changed to using, I believe it's Clarity Voting, their reporting system, and they've come into some question about, you know, their own systems of, their system for vote reporting. Anyway, my question is, why did we drop our, what I guess was an in-house system and use, why are we using a third-party system, and do we really need to, and does it does it add security concerns? It seemed like it would.
Well, now you're talking about how under Mac Warner we dropped Eric. Are we talking about the same thing? Eric, E-R-I-C, was the system where we try to see if somebody voted in more than one state.
No, I'm talking about, I guess I could pull it up here. Well, now on the Secretary of State site, it uses, I'm pretty sure it should have researched, looked exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's clarity voting. So it's like a third-party system where they report, whereas I think 2018 and before, it was looked like a more homegrown system. Anyway, it wasn't clarity voting. So I think it's just a third-party system that where the reporting is done for the elections. I was just wondering, why did we need that or use that? And when you're using outside vendors like that, I don't think it's the Eric system. It's not a matter of citizenship. It's just the reporting for each county of who got how many votes. I'm just wondering why would you use a system like that? Do you have any issues with it? Whereas before it seemed like we had our own state system.
Well, I can assure you if I'm elected, I will look that up. I listened to all the questions you had of Mr. Scaff in the primary, and I was trying to prepare, but that was not one you asked Mr. Scaff.
Clarity, sorry. But I asked it of Mac Warner because he was running for governor about it. I actually, come to think of it, I don't think he answered clearly, but about the clarity voting thing. He was trying to say that they didn't use it, but then afterward I looked and saw that they are using, I'm pretty sure it's called clarity voting. I'm not saying that I have any evidence that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying, doesn't using third-party systems introduce more complexity and possibility of, you know, security issues?
I want to give Mr. Warner, now I'm running against his brother. I'm not running against Mike. I'm running against his brother, Chris. But I'm going to give Mike the benefit of the doubt and not criticize him for something that I have not yet. I'm very cautious before I make allegations.
So, okay.
But since you mentioned his name, let me bring up something. Well, one of the things that I've achieved in my life was to get the West Virginia to comply with Article 14, Section 2 of the state constitution. Constitutional amendments, we got one on the ballot in November. There's a requirement in the state constitution, Article 14, Section 2, you have to publish the full text of the proposed constitutional amendment. So I filed a court case back in 1995 because the Secretary of State, who was then in office, that was Ken Heckler, had only published the ballot language, but you didn't know actually what the amendment said. So there's a case called State X Rel Cooper v. Caperton, I'm the Cooper in it, that there is a syllabus point. It, again, say you got to publish the full text.
So, yeah, it should be. So let me ask you something.
That wasn't done. Mac dropped the ball, and I may have to take him to court next week.
The one on assisted suicide?
Yes, sir.
I don't know. Yeah, I looked on the thing, and then I'm wondering. I mean, I suppose if you say approve, it's for restricting it. But you're right; it doesn't have any text, does it?
No, the text is not on the ballot. That's why it's supposed to be published in the so you can read it 3 months ahead of time. He just published the ballot language and not the text. And I'm personally opposed to that amendment. But the fact is, whether you're for it or against, you ought to be able to read it first and then decide whether you're for it or against.
No, it should be on the ballot. So you're saying that's a state requirement and they didn't do it.
Yes, sir. And I've already, we may go to court later in October to make him do. See, he made the same mistake 6 years ago, and I threatened to take him to court, and he finally backed down. There were two amendments at the ballot, one related to abortion, the other related to the budget of the state Supreme Court. So I was sitting down in the AG's, Attorney General's office, saying, we're going to go to court. And they finally backed down. Well, this time, so they did it right 2 years ago. There were four amendments about, and they did publish the text. But this year, again, they messed up in 2024 and only published the ballot language in the newspapers across the state 3 months ahead of time. But they didn't publish. The whole purpose is you're supposed to know what you're voting on. This just tells you what.
So is it when you say publish, so you're saying publish in the newspaper, it doesn't have to appear on the ballot? or does it?
I think it should, but it's not required. I think the legislature should change the law. If you got a bond issue or an excess levy at the county level, you'll be able to see the full text, you know, when you vote. It'll either be on the ballot or it'll be in your polling place or it'll be in the precinct so you can read it. That's not the way we do constitutional amendments. I think we ought to change the law to require the text also be on the ballot. What I'm telling you is that nobody in West Virginia has had the opportunity to read it in the newspapers. Now, one place you can read it is the ballotpedia.org website. You can scroll down to the West Virginia races and you can learn a little bit about my race, and you can also learn about the constitutional amendment.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, I was confused by that myself because I saw it. It just says against assisted suicide. And I said, well, where's the amendment? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they messed up. And you can be sure if I'm Secretary of State, that'll never happen during my tenure, because I think that's one of the most important things they do.
No, that is a big mistake. I mean, it's, of course it has to be on there. I was wondering why it was so, like, didn't make any sense. It's like, that's my immediate thought. Well, where's the language, you know? Yeah, you're right about that one. Definitely. So turning to the other side of, or one other side, like Secretary of State is in charge of business registration, right? So yes, sir. Is there anything different that should be done on that side of the Secretary of State's responsibility?
Well, if you go to my website, www.thorntoncook.com, I tell people how to use there's a portal that's on there that is a multi-agency portal. I've incorporated two corporations. I incorporated a company called Mountain Sunshine Home Remodeling, which was a for-profit corporation back in 84, and I incorporated a nonprofit corporation called West Virginia Federation of Parents of Drug-Free Youth a few years later, because there were two ladies. I used to go to school board meetings on consolidation matters in Kanawha County, and these two ladies said, well, we want to do something about kids, you know, using drugs. I said, okay, I'll go ahead and incorporate it. So we incorporate it. So it's very important that people be able to, you know, not only to, you know, to create, you know, it's the place where corporations and limited liabilities companies are born. They also need to be able to go there as a member of the public to see if these guys have filed their annual reports. If a person doesn't even file annual reports, you could actually be a misdemeanor if you've basically been sort of dissolved. They use different verbs, but it's really important that's updated information. If a company doesn't even file its annual reports, you don't want to use them to fix your pipe or to put a roof on your house or anything else.
That's a good point. So yeah. I have a question regarding filings. I think it's related. So, like, I was looking into an issue with some properties in my area and, you know, who owned them, you know, because of their distress or whatever is going on, squatting or whatever. And then one company is owned by another company, is owned by another company, LLCs. One LLC is owned by another one, another one. And, you know, finally, about the fourth or fifth one, I was able to figure out maybe somebody who, that's kind of like, I don't know, is I guess there's no law against it, but it seems like
there should be.
Yeah, that's maybe trying to conceal it.
That's the legislature and the United States Congress. They can make all of that. You should be able to, whenever you see a company, you should be able to trace all the way back to the human beings that own the company, that owns the company, that owns the company. You and I think we're on the same wavelength on that. Because it's fine. I understand under capitalism, you got to let people take risks. That's why we have corporations and limited liability companies. But they shouldn't be able to use the corporation limited liability company to do things in secrecy. I think it should be all upfront, and people should, especially when we're talking about people, companies that spend money on political campaigns. We got a situation in Kanawha County. Got a company that's an organization that's theoretically based in Texas. All the money is spent. It's on Secretary of State's website, but they spent all the money on races in Kanawha County. And I suspect the people who are behind it actually live in Kanawha County. You can't find out because it's one of those loopholes. I don't like those loopholes. I don't mind people. If you're a multimillionaire and you want to spend all your money, you know, posing a candidate and do an independent expenditure, I think that's guaranteed by the First Amendment. But I want to know who you are. I want to know who right. your human being is.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, it seems like that scenario where, you know, things, you know, could be improved as far as that goes.
Absolutely. And it can be done. It can be done by the U.S. Congress and the state legislature. It's not that it can't be done. It's that they have not. It's the vested interest to prohibit it from being done.
Yeah. So segueing back to the, just for my own clarity, by look, I did look at the absentee, how do you say, not absentee, mail-in request form. So yes. It seems like, in like you said, in 2020, anybody could get one. But now I think that's been retracted, right? You can't just say, oh, I'm afraid of getting COVID, or am I wrong?
I'm not sure. Interestingly, I got COVID. I had all the shots. I did everything right, wiped everything down. But going to all these campaign events, I came down with COVID for the very first time in September. And it's kind of funny, but thank goodness I had the shots. It wasn't that severe. I just tried not to try to be away from people for a while. But yeah, I'm going by what Mac Warner, the current Secretary of State. Remember, I'm running against his brother, Chris, not against Mac.
Right.
He announced that I wouldn't be able to have the same opportunity in 2024 to vote, just because that would not be used. That would not be enough of a basis. I think it'd be fine if we just did all the same the way we did it in 2020. In other words, I don't want to force people to vote by mail. I don't want to force them to vote on election day. I don't want to force them to vote in person before election day. This is West Virginia. I think people should have the choice. And I think all these fears about fraud. Yes, fraud was a very big issue in the 60s and 70s and before that. It is not an issue. It is not. That doesn't mean there's never. Occasionally, Republicans get caught like voting twice. That's occurred a number of times, but not enough to affect to change the outcomes of the like the presidential election. Interestingly, what was really funny about Trump's allegations was that if people were going to vote. We're going to vote for Biden. They wouldn't have had about voting for they wouldn't have submitted ballots voting for Republicans down with Biden at the top. They would have had a ballot was all for Democrats. So when these people in the Congress were trying to back the Republicans were backing up Trump, they knew that there was a crock because that by those same ballots they had been elected. So when they were challenging the election, they knew what they were doing.
Well, we'll have to disagree on that. But on our website, I posted.
I sort of respond to your question, okay? When you said, I'm saying the fraud didn't occur. It's a myth created by Donald Trump.
Well, I'll disagree on that one. But I have a number of videos on my website, I mean, if you want to see and comment about, you know, different testimonies and things from, like, 2020 and so on.
Yeah.
But I know that's not exactly the topic today. But, of course, that relates to the Secretary of State's office. Yeah. Well, we've covered kind of both angles of it, but this would be a good opportunity for you to just say any of the things that are on your platform, maybe that we didn't mention, or how you want to differentiate from your opponent, or things like that.
Well, I haven't said anything about my opponent. I've had 29 years of experience in state government. I've had management experience. I was an administrator and attorney. So I'm not even going to, you know, talk about my opponent. I have more experience than he does. He works, I think he's the head of the Economic Development Authority. But everybody who knows me knows I'm a fair, honest person, people who know me personally. I'm partisan in the elections, and I'll be completely nonpartisan. I think they ought to put the Secretary of State under civil service. Mac Warner fired a whole bunch of Democrats, and I think he violated federal case law when he did that. And the taxpayers ended up paying the bill. We didn't kick the Democrats used the attorney named Ben Salango, and they got big judgments. But the Republicans that were put in their place are still there. If I were in there, I wouldn't care if all the Republicans in the Secretary of State's office voted for my opponent. I'm not a vindictive person. All I want to know is if I'm elected, I will Do you show up for work? Are you honest? Are you competent? That's what should count. And I would try to get the legislature to put these people, or the great majority of them, under civil service. I think we need to take partisan politics out of the administration of the elections.
That's a good point. I was interested in, not knowing everything about everybody when I was talking to the auditor candidate, Marianne Claytor, to find out that her opponent was a Democrat who turned Republican. I don't think much of that either, because a lot of times nothing changed, and maybe it's just political expediency,
Well, I know her opponent. My mother's a school teacher. Taught him Latin at Stonewall Jackson High School. I donated to his campaign because he said he wanted to last time he ran as a Democrat was for Kanawha County Commission. He said, "Thornton, we want to put D's, that's Democrats, on the county commission." So I donated to him, and then he lost, and then he switched parties. So I thought it was kind of funny for a guy who'd been, been elected legislature as a Democrat and run for county commission, was our congressional candidate as a Democrat, our nominee a few years ago. I said, well, apparently that wasn't as much a part of his DNA as is my part of my DNA. I'm a Democrat, yeah. Proud of it. But as I said, if I'm elected, I treat everybody fair and square. Obviously, you and I have different ideas about whether it's fraud. I think it's a myth. Okay, but you don't agree with me, that's fine. But whether you agree with me or disagree with me, if I were elected Secretary of State, I would treat everybody fairly, and I would not be trying to make partisan decisions. You got elections. We have the integrity of the election is very important. And yes, anybody who's caught committing fraud, I'm for throwing the book at them.
Okay, fair enough. So anything else you want to share in conclusion about your candidacy and why the voters should choose, to vote for you?
Okay. What I'd like them to do is, if you don't get enough from this interview, go to my website, www.thorntoncooper.com.
Okay.
Go to the ballotpedia.org website. That is a nonprofit organization, which I donate to, as a matter of fact. And you can look at every race, every statewide race, every legislative race in the country, and it's free of charge. And you can also actually read the text of the constitutional amendment that's on the ballot in November in West Virginia, which I am voting against. But don't take my word for it. Read it. I just want to make this one point.
Okay.
It's already assisted suicide and euthanasia are already illegal in West Virginia. They're wasting space in the Constitution to add a section to criminalize something that's already criminal. To me, it's a political stunt by the Republican majority in the West Virginia legislature, and I'm voting against it.
Okay, fair enough.
Vote the way you want. I just want people to read the text themselves, and I may have to go to court, so you will have the opportunity to read the text in your newspapers.
No, I agree. It should have been on there. I mean, like I said, I was immediately confused, okay, where's the text? So I agree with you on that. All right, well, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on today. I hope
thank
this
you.
Helps the voters. You're most welcome. Decide, who they'd like to vote for. And, we'll be putting it'll be available on any podcast platform. If you go to the Richard Urban Show, as well as a video will be on our own website, visionroot.org. So thanks again. We really, really appreciate it.
And whether you vote for me or my opponent, please vote. Please
yes.
vote, because the big problem here is not fraud, it's people don't vote.
And I agree. That's a big issue.
The fewer people who vote, the more special interest can affect the outcome. So if you're middle of the road, that's the kind of people I want. If you're the middle of the road type person, I want you to go out there, even if you vote for my opponent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon.